Thank you for tuning in
and listening to
Codecast,
the one and only podcast from the new IT school in Estonia.
News, founders, jokes, technologies,
and code UFO experience. We have got it all. Today, our guest is angel investor and code UFO founder Marek Kiisa, and he will be talking with us about creating coding school in UFO and how it affects the region. Welcome everyone, you're listening to Codecast, and today we are not in Narva, we are not in Sillamäe, and we are not even in Ida-Virumaa. We are here in Tallinn, in Super Angel, and our guest is today Marek Kiisa. Welcome Marek.
Thank you for being here, thank you.
Yeah, so today we are going to talk about obviously Codecast, but as in Codecast as in with creators. So Codecast, or you know, Code UFO, it's not about just programming, it's about people. Always been about people and the people that are studying there, and also the people that have created it. And you are the one of the creators, you're the first creator, you're the one who had the idea. So today we are going to talk about you. And we'll talk about you overall, your little bit background, and then how you got to Code UFO, and then just overall, you know, how it started and how it's going. So
thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you for being here, and thank you for being a part of the community. So as if it is a community project,
which it is.
We are talking further about the community. Yes. Thank you.
Yes, and when I opened Google and tried to find information about you, then I saw so many different topics, and it was really so hard to write some kind of introduction about you. So maybe you will introduce yourself.
Okay, so I'm calling myself an engineer. Born in 1968 here in Tallinn, and in the family of two motorbike stars, if we can say it like this. My father was driving motorbikes, and his best results were at the World Championship third place. My mother was also a driver, or driving motorbikes once upon a time. So I was, by the way, kept away from the motorbikes because it's too dangerous and this is not for you.
They were afraid you will fly them to the moon.
Exactly. So I was using the opportunity and tried myself further with karting. And then I became Estonian champion on karting once upon a time. And then the natural way was step over to Formula Racing cars. And by the way, do you know that Estonia is a point where Formula, where the world biggest Formula factory was located?
I heard that, yeah.
I didn't know that.
So it was 1957, an Estonian guy who was racing at the Soviet Championship was three laps ahead when finishing. His name was Ants Sailor, and in today's measures, we can say that he made the world most perfect pitch to pitch the factory to get it in Estonia. So one of the highest gentlemen of the government came to him at this race and was asking, how did you buy, build this car by yourself? Yes, it's in a very small factory in Estonia. We did build this prototype, so, and it's really fast, and I'm the fastest driver. Okay, how much money do you need, and what else do you need to build a factory in Tallinn? Yes, lots of money and the place where the factory could be. And then the factory was born next to the post office, where there is a restaurant called Vapiano today, where there was an entrance to the factory. And this factory became famous. It built Formula racing cars of the Formula 4 type of racing cars that were racing in 1/6 of the planet in the Soviet bloc. Totally they produced 1,360 Formula racing cars during this journey up to 2000, when it went to bankruptcy, this factory, because of the changes of the world and in economy. But it was quite interesting. I took a look on my there was actually booklets once upon a time where we there was written in where you were first working place was. So my very first working place was a Formula racing car factory driver. So I worked for the factory for 3 years, and I was engineering these vehicles and also racing with them. So that was my youth.
did you get an education on that, or that was like just you?
So of course I went to school. I went.
Was
to,
it the university?
So I started at Tallinn Technical University. Mm-hmm. In 1991, we already were driving or racing in Finland and in Sweden. So I took the liberty to visit the universities so I could continue my studies at Stockholm Technical University in Sweden. So and then I was focusing fully on engineering and 3D design, how to create engines by yourself.
Have you been any way connected to nowadays formula creation in Taltech and the Tallinn Higher Education of Technical Studies, I think? Right. Yes. It's two schools. They have a project where they build formulas, and now it's electric formulas, right?
Brilliant. Very good that you mentioned this. So why they are so famous and doing well at these racing events, like student racing events, because there is this formula racing culture still alive in Estonia. And there are these old engineers who built these formula racing cars at the factory next to the postal office. They are also involved. And they are giving their experiences, and that's why the formula cars are so fast.
And yeah, Estonians win every race, I think. Like, it's almost every race.
More or less.
Yeah, I've heard, but when I was studying in Taltech, I really wanted to go, but I didn't feel like I'm too much of an engineer. But still, I think they were like winning all races and something like that.
Exactly. Yeah. And this kind of engineering, it goes year by year, it goes deeper, it goes wider, it goes towards the robotics, it goes towards AI, but there are, this is like this engineering DNA which follows in generations there.
Yeah, I've heard they're like each year the rules get stricter and stricter, and you have to make new formulas. Right. And so yeah.
So and the question that I'm still involved. Yes and no. So I'll try to keep hands off as much as possible, but I have been one of the supporters, and if the help is needed, so definitely I'm always there, so I cannot avoid it.
Yeah, well, it's in you. That's how you started. Wow.
Okay. If we could say it like that in your young life, you've been always connected with cars, machines, or different vehicles like motorbikes, but now how you got into investment and in startups, because you helped a lot Pipedrive, Taxify, and different companies here.
When I moved back from Sweden to Estonia, then I worked 3 years for the state. During 3 years, we prepared all the all the plans and development plans for Estonian roads, rails, airports, and also communication kind of strategies to enter European Union. And this was my responsibility of that time. This was kind of a kind of global introduction to this telecom world and also to IT world. After that, I started my own company, or I have been kind of a company builder since then. I have started, I don't know, 5-6 companies by myself. Some of them have been very good, very successful. Some of them we have closed because the business didn't work. So it has been quite a lot of hands-on functionality. Plus this this racing world, where you are kind of giving back to the society and helping the organization to grow. This has led to the situation where we maybe I'll take it from the beginning. It all started when I started together with my partner Sven Repo a company, Astrek Baltic. This was making telecom infrastructure components and was servicing all the mobile operators.
Also engineering kind of
it was engineering part and sales and also service part for the customers.
So your all the experience you had before helped you to get your first kind of business or first
exactly.
successful business.
So it's still a very successful business, and we made kind of strategical decision together with my partner that all we are not going to buy fancy cars or fancy houses. We are going to reinvest all our gains into startups like angel investors. So this was kind of mathematics that we came out that at least 17% of our turnover we reinvested in startups. So that was the decision what we internally took.
It's your founder's pledge.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So
can you maybe explain a founder's pledge for someone that doesn't know what a founder's pledge means?
We can do it afterwards.
Okay.
This is, or I'll do it right away. So
all right.
So this is kind of founder's pledge. There are very different founder's pledges, but at least if you are taking with one hand, then you are giving back with the other hand. So this was our way to give back to the
society
to the founders, how we can support the founders. And we started to invest in these companies that we understood what they are doing. One of the highlights maybe was GrabCAD, because I had the background already from Sweden, where it was my very first work at Connaught Engineering, where I did 3D revolution, because I was the youngest who joined this engineering company, and we had to make these 3D drawings already in computers. So this was the most natural and maybe one of the best investments also, because we can say we clicked very well with Hardy Maybaum, the founder of GrabCAD, and also there I got acquainted with Rainer Sternfeld, with whom we are running Nordic Ninja currently. this is how we were making, getting acquainted with great people. But during this time, we made 15 different investments, some were giving very good returns, some smaller returns, but they mostly, all of them survived. So,
are there some investments where you don't really get a financial return, but more like impactful return? So like maybe a social kind of startup or something that is helping people, but you know, doesn't give you too much return.
Right. There are some of them also, but usually you would like to have the business plan working. Yeah. So, and depending on the business plan, so you should put it in different kind of bucket systems, like some of them are growing because they are building a community. Some of them are having a very good product, and some of them are having like social impact.
Very cool.
Yeah.
So, and very one very interesting coincidence also with this angel investing was that we're very close to invest in a company called Fortumo that was Veljo Ottosson and Ryan Rano running once upon a time. And we were too slow with our documentation. So it took... it's always lawyers are involved and everything takes time. So it took too much time, and the guys became profitable. Mm. So they did not need our money. Oh. And they kindly said, thank you. We were, I cannot say negatively surprised, but always if you have been working, you would like to invest, make the investments. Yeah. But I must say that I made friends for my life. So together with Veljo and Ryan, we started a fund called, or we co-founded a fund called Super Angel, which was kind of one third our own investment, one third the founders' other founders' investments from our previous life, plus founders of Estonian very famous startups, and the third was retirement funds who were supporting this fund. And now this fund has been investing in or has invested in 44 companies, where we have been also hands-on in every company. The whole team has been contributing to get these companies to fly. And current work is a managing partner at Nordic Ninja. This is a we can say world biggest Japanese fund, Japanese-backed fund, which is active in Northern Europe. And currently, we have invested in 17 different companies in New Nordics, what we are calling good old Scandinavia, plus the Baltics, we name it New Nordics. So this is where we are mostly active. So I'm responsible of Sweden, Denmark, and Norway. And this puts me quite a lot on airplanes and boats.
Okay, very, very cool. A very long story. And
well, it's an introduction and everybody should know what Marek is doing.
Yeah, I think that it was enough to understand who are you now.
Yeah, a person who has helped close to 100 different companies to fly, which is great, like awesome. Like, I don't know if anybody else in Estonia can say the same.
I think that there are several founders. Now coming back to the community, that afterwards we are talking also about the coding school, but mm-hmm. I'm honestly saying that I have not seen any country where startup community is so united as it is in Estonia. Mm-hmm. And the school is because of this startup community is so well united, and also coming and answering to your question that there are lots of very active and good founders who are helping, like if they are not even involved, if they have not invested in the company, they are helping each other through the Founders Association and also here in Telliskivi, where we are currently. So it's everybody knows everybody and everybody helps everybody.
So quite a big part of Estonian mafia is helping with
this. This is called Estonian startup mafia, yes. Yeah.
Startup mafia. Yeah, we have to mention startup mafia, not just mafia. But still, yeah, it's a really cool thing. And, you know, a lot of people definitely want to be part of that because it's people who are helping each other, it's people who are helping others, giving back to the community. And, you know, community is everything. Without the community, you can't get anything. You can't, like, the more you give, the more you get. And the community is what helps you and what you can leave a bigger impact when you're alone.
Right.
Okay. Let's go to the Codefi now. And you are the creator of idea about coding school in Estonia and what is named now Codefi. And how you got that idea and what was the reason about it?
So there are two very different ways, or there is a longer history. So
let's
take the longer one. So first, when my elder son graduated from the school here in Estonia, he got into a school 42 in Fremont when they had their very first year of this French model starting in US. And he was participating at this, I think that it was 3 months period that they called PISIN, and he took these courses.
Yeah, in last episodes, we talked a bit about it and we called it a selection sprint. So to those who, heard us, so it's selection sprint.
Yeah. Piscine selection sprint.
Yeah.
So I should look it after how long it was. We are having it 3 weeks.
3 weeks.
They are having it a little bit longer, but you
Isn't
can Google
this
it by
going
yourself.
To be 4 weeks in next year's?
I don't know yet.
Something we
could
about.
Be.
Could be, but so, yeah, 3 weeks right now.
So
yeah.
He was participating at this Piscine, and after participating this one, he got into a regular university, and after 2 years of study, he said that this PISIN was giving accelerated learning, what was nearly equal to 2 years university. So, and then this was banging in my head. So, can it be true? Like, and we have heard this now coming to today's world. So we have heard this statement also from Codefi students that this accelerated program is giving you so much that it is definitely changing your mindset. Then another very interesting coincidence. So I'm a Kaufman fellow. This is a venture capital kind of educational program run in Silicon Valley. And they are organizing yearly conferences, and one conference took place in Tel Aviv in Israel. And we had a very interesting meeting with the Minister of Education of that time. This was Bennett Naftali, who was the Minister of Education, who is, by the way, Prime Minister in today's cabinet. And he was an ex-founder of several companies who was kind of giving back and went into politics and became a Minister of Education. And he said that one very interesting thing in private communication, because I'm coming from Estonia and geopolitically we are placed here and these kind of neighbors. And he mentioned very interesting thing that in the Palestinian areas, to get these on their feet, they did put several coding schools in these areas. And they measured the results. Working places went there. These areas became very efficient and like cool places to start companies. This another thing was banging in my head. And finally, then there was the third thing that we were doing together with Merlin Seemann, one of the co-founders of Cordiofi. We were doing entrepreneurship to the schools. So we visited together with the other founders of the company's schools in September, and we're talking to the students, why is it cool to be an entrepreneur, and why, what are the highs and downs like in entrepreneurship. It was called My Story, so Google mystory.ee. And the entrepreneurs went to the schools. So the last year before COVID, we did hit most of the Estonian schools, like every September, 1 week. Okay. And I was the one who was constantly going to Jofi, gymnasium, or
yes, is it the gymnasium?
Exactly. So, and this area became like so close to my heart. And the third thing that the company that we have invested, Pilvio.com, is owning a big building in this area. So. When the co-founders of Pilvio.com, Kaur Kiesler, Kalev Reilian, and Stina Lehti heard about this, then they said, yes, we would like to be also part of this mindset, this community, and we would like to give you the building for the school. So, if we are putting all these bits and pieces together, then why not to put this school in Eastern Estonia, referring to the way with the Israeli case? Then this self-learning program where there are no teachers, so which gives accelerated learning, plus. There is a building also free of charge. They are giving it free of charge for 20 years. Build a school there. And then I made a very enthusiastic pitch to Taavet and Martin.
Taavet Hinrikus and Martin Villik.
Exactly. And they are the co-founders of Educational Fund, where also Super Angel is supporting or part of this fund. So at one meeting, I had the opportunity, so I made my pitch. And I got no reaction at the beginning. So then I got the phone call, and we had another meeting and another meeting and another meeting. And then we were also pitching other very good friends and educational enthusiasts, like I mentioned, Merlin Seemann, Rainer Sternfeld, Maria Pehk, Marilis Kitter, Ede Tamkivi, and they all were in. So then we co-founded Cordiofi. And by the way, the name comes from Rainer Sternfeld and Ede Tamkivi and Sten Tamkivi. They, three of them, were designing this name.
Nice.
So okay. So that was the beginning, and I would, and I have been saying it constantly, that ideas do not cost anything, but the execution, what is the most important. And this team executed like it has been like a dream to work with these people. And it's if they can build unicorns, so it has been like a most brilliant journey of my life to build a school together with these co-founders.
Okay. Cordiofi started in September 21, but when you made that pitch to David and Martin?
I think that it was exactly 1 year before that, because it certainly took time, and to set up to find a proper management. And I think that we are having the world-class management for the school. We have been working together with Karin previously at European Innovation Academy, and things that she has done in her past life are, let's say, every step, everything is helping to create the big picture in that sense.
Karin, she's head of school, one of the head of schools, and we had a podcast with her, Zero's episode. So if you want to get know more about Karin, then listen our Zero episode.
The pilot. Yep. I think the natural way of going from here is, you said that you pitched the whole thing to Martin and David, that, you know, when you pitch, you pitch a vision as well. So you said that, you know, the coding schools in Palestine helped to grow the region. Mm-hmm. And if I understand correctly, well, your idea or the vision is the same for Idav Iruma. You want it to grow. So maybe can you give us an understanding of your vision of Idav Iruma in 2030? Like, what do you see for Idav Iruma in 2030?
For the first, now referring back to this, these entrepreneurship to schools, and by visiting and getting, seeing all these shining eyes every year that we have visited, all these youngsters, they are very keen to learn. They are coming from very many engineering families where once upon a time moved to these areas, and they are the children of the engineering families, and they are also carrying this DNA. And I think that this type of school is like a very well planned place for that type of education. I'm drawing some sort of parallels here with Palo Alto, and that's why we are sitting here in the Palo Alto Club, to get this feeling that once upon a time Stanford University was also placed to Palo Alto, which was the engine, the main engine of the Silicon Valley area. So from this university, Google was growing up, so most of the founders have some sort of connection with this university, if they have not if they were not educated there, then their crewmates were educated there. So this university is still the heart of this region. I am a great believer that that choreography will be this type of engine for this area. So we can say it that that at least we are doing everything that we can build another kind of Silicon Valley type of area. So with the very first start and with choreography.
Yeah. How many companies do you want to come to Ida-Virumaa after there's like 600 graduates in 3 years? Well, with us and the 400 that they want to take in more. So it's like
600.
Around 600 graduates in 3 years, which is like a great thing to have. So do you think anybody will go to Ida-Virumaa?
So I'm going to answer from different end. And also referring these talks that I had at this Jõhvi Gymnasium in Estonia. So these students would like to stay in this area. If they are getting a very well, like world-class education and they are getting a very good working place, then they would like to stay in this area because the nature is very beautiful there. And if we are dreaming and every well-paid IT engineer who is working remotely is going to have 5 to 7 people servicing this person. If this person is paying the taxes and, let's say, works for Google, works for Wise, works for Bolt or anybody else distance and being located, let's say, in Selama, then there are dentists, there are builders, there are everybody who is going to sell these local services. So this means that this one person who will be localized there is going to have the economy running around him or herself. So this is the dream to have like a digital change in this area.
This dream is a good kind of explanation to those people who don't understand what means bringing something to Ida-Virumaa. Because I've talked with many friends and there are several friends who just don't understand why Jõhvi.
Especially people that live in Tallinn or Tartu mostly because, well, everything is coming to Tallinn or Tartu. In Jõhvi, well, even in Narva, which is third biggest city in Estonia, there is no really new buildings. Nobody is taking up contracts because they think that nobody will buy this, you know, buildings and so on. So it's like, you know, nobody, but not very many people understand why to bring this school to Jõhvi.
So I'm going to answer right away. So there is a parallel school which is based on school 42 in Helsinki, and some of the Finnish very bright guys came into the school from northern Finland, but they could not afford. They are not offering living space, so the students should find or rent an apartment or a room by him or herself. And the cost in Helsinki is 1,000 to 2,000 euros. And young students cannot afford this. We are based in Jõhvi because all the housing costs are much lower. The living costs are lower. Also comparing to Helsinki, there is I think that they are renting the premises of the building, so all the supporting money, which like the supporters are paying the rent, and this is wrong. So you cannot find, like it will be so expensive that it's not worth to put the money there. So it's much wiser to put the money into students and the program that they are getting the soft parts, not the hardware. So this is what we decided. We decided to place it in this area, which is, and of course, as I mentioned, that Pilvio.com is going to support us with a building. So this means that this is like free of charge, and we can spare this money to help our students and build better program.
Yeah, when you invest in people feel appreciated. They feel that they can grow, that somebody is supporting their growth. And obviously bringing 200 new people into a region where there's not that many people, it's that you said, each graduate will give 7 jobs.
Exactly.
And when you bring 200, it's 1400 jobs. It's like a lot. So obviously it makes sense to bring people here. It makes sense to Jyväskylä, not to Tallinn. Tallinn has 600,000 people.
Tallinn is doing brilliantly.
Yeah.
Tartu is doing brilliantly. We are pretty soon, Jyväskylä is also doing brilliantly. So
yeah, way better than it's doing right now.
Yes, because at the moment, Jyväskylä, they are giving to their students accommodation, computer monitors, everything you need for living and for studying. So the one thing what you need to worry about is just food. That's it. And at the moment, students who are studying on site, they are really happy, as I see them.
I'm very happy that the first patch is the most important one, and also at when we started this school and with we had this ceremony, then I also mentioned that we would like to build up a Cord fellowship or Cord Jyväskylä fellowship, and this means that that the first patch especially, they will be like one common family. Already today, they are arranging concerts, they are dancing courses, whatsoever. So it's pure fun. And what is the most important, that they are getting friends with each other. They are helping each other, and they are helping also on coding. They are comparing the code. They are showing the code to each other, how the engineers are doing the best job. It was exactly like with GrabCAD. There were when we were involved, then there were 2 million engineers. There were young engineers, they were elderly engineers. So young engineers did teach elderly engineers the code and the digital part. The elderly engineers were training the younger ones of math and like complicated these old school things. So and it started to work, and this is exactly what happens currently with these people going to the courses or taking the courses or giving the courses to themselves.
Yeah. To each other.
To each other.
As we know, the best practice is always to teach someone else. Because if you can do that, then you know yourself. It's the first and foremost.
Exactly.
And second, when you teach each other, you go further, way better. Because again, you're not alone. You're doing it together. And it's always way better to plow a field together.
Right.
Okay.
Marek, maybe do you have something to say to students or other people who just are trying to get through their problems or issues? How to be productive or something?
Maybe add, as in, we all know that graduates get like a potential place to work, and why not even...
This is the goal
for the school. Exactly. Not even like only work, but, you know, community and just overall get into the whole thing. So maybe you can add as well in the end, how is like your part contributing to that? Maybe, well, maybe your company will be one of the partners hiring, or, you know, like overall just, you know, what to expect and where to send the knowledge. So, you know, we can get coding, obviously, but we need more. We need soft skills. We need, you know, communication and all other skills as well. So what should each student like go through in these 2 years?
I'm sorry. It will be a very long answer right now. So, but let's
we'll cut it short if it's too long.
Thank you. So I'm a great believer that I'm referring to Ben Horowitz. So if you don't know him, please Google. Ben Horowitz has been saying that software eats the world, and this is what already happens. So every factory will be, like a physical factory, will be an IT company who is also producing some things. Like a very good example, one painting company is stating that they are IT company which is making paints. So this means that there is a digital revolution and ongoing, and this puts like hashtag no pressure. it is going to put the pressure to all of us to get digitally native. Okay, younger generation will be automatically digitally native, but our generation will be kind of digital immigrants. But then it would be good to be a good digital immigrant. This means that we constantly should learn, like we are learning languages. Now there will be also digital languages that we should learn. Like we talked previously that, I can speak Estonian, English, Finnish, C++ and other languages. So this is kind of like it should be very natural that we are also learning some of, or at least one coding language, or at least we are understanding what happens in the coding world. This means digitalization. Sooner or later, there won't be too many papers left, so everything will be digital, and we are going to change this world by ourselves. What is very interesting and very attractive that we do see it from the first batch, that we are having baccalaureates, we are having masters, we have even PhD, we are having very different angles, people coming from very different angles. And also we are having 16 nationalities, I think. So this means that we have very good diversity, and this diversity is going to create magic. So this school is going to give you a very well paid place to work. Either is it in our portfolio company or in others portfolio company, but it is certainly in our community, or this, as you called, Estonia startup mafia. And usually it's a digital work, usually it's a remote work. So this means that you can be based in your country house, having LAMs and then doing the coding work behind the computer and growing up your children in fresh nature. So these are the possibilities, and also coming back to that again, that it should not be in Ida-Viroma, in Jõhvi. It can be in Võru, it can be in another part of the world. So because if you are having the coding skills, coding language, this type of work, then you are a digital nomad, then you can work everywhere.
Yeah, I could even add a bit that we know that there's at least two people in Code Jõhvi that are of age 62, which is obviously a great age and hard age to learn something new. Mm-hmm. And well, in retrospect, because actually not, you know, lifelong learning is actual thing and everybody's doing it nowadays. But like 20, 30 years ago, when you were that age, it felt like you're done. You can't really learn something new. But now we have people, and we are talking a lot about youth, and a lot we're talking about youth that is until 26, 29. And well, they are already digitally acquainted, like you said. But when the world is changing, when there's, you know, more digital life, we sometimes tend to forget about the people in the age of 40 to 60 to 70 who maybe don't want or don't actually, you know, feel that they can learn. But Code Jõhvi is showing that it is possible. It is still possible.
And this is possible.
And this is possible and should be possible and it will be possible.
So I'm a very fan of these elderly students, and I'm a very strong believer that today we are not talking about COVID right now. But today we are taking care of our bodies so well that our bodies do last up to, let's say, 100 years. So you are going to be at least 100 years old if you are doing properly. But at the same time, you should keep your mind also updated, and all the languages, this type of learning is keeping our let's say, brain fresh. So good sleep, good food, and mental training.
And good brain food, yeah. Good
exactly,
brain food.
And a good brain food.
Yeah.
Okay, very cool. Marek, it was very, very interesting. Sometimes it was so hard to ask anything because I just wanted to listen to you. So thank you for all of those stories. We have a simple tradition now for the ending. Always I'm trying to tell some kind of maybe stupid, maybe funny jokes about programming or IT at all. And at the moment, I will tell two jokes because they're short. Mm-hmm. First one is, I hate audio correct.
Okay.
All right. You know, you are typing at autocorrect is always correcting false.
So, I know it pretty well.
Yeah. Okay, and the second one is, how did you like my HTTP 200 joke? It was okay.
It was okay. Like we are, it was not bad.
It was not 503, yep.
Right. And I found it, so it wasn't 404.
Yeah.
404, exactly.
Wow. Anybody who doesn't understand is like, what are those numbers? What do they mean?
But Code Jõhvi students should know now what those numbers mean.
Very good.
Which is a great state. Marek? Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you. It was really cool to be part of the community and the community.
You are. You are part of the community. You are the creator of the community.
We'll take it once again. It's absolute. I'm absolutely thrilled to be a part of the community and let's go further.
Yeah, and we are absolutely thrilled. And we hope we can get you on once more. We know you're busy, but I hope we can get that time because we definitely have to talk about a lot of things. And, you know, it's interesting to know about our, you know, basically creators, you could say. So definitely want to talk to you again.
Always. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. And like Marek said, let's go through. Let's go further.
Let's go further, yeah.